My neighbor.
Thank you, Mr. Rogers, getting us into the day. 5:45, WWIB. Yeah, I saw the movie on Sunday, Jason Cans, and I just can't get away from the Won't You Be My Neighbor song. So
That's a beautiful thing. It's you know, beautiful day in the neighborhood. I'm reminded, I think, every time I hear that, of when we were asked to dress up as someone kind. I think that was somebody who has influenced us that way, and you came dressed as Mr. Rogers.
And you came dressed as Bob Goff, author of Love Does and Everybody Always. That was a cool Sunday. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that was a fun thing. So,
Ash Wednesday today.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Start of the Lenten season. Yep. That's going on today. And let's see. I think we're going to turn to you for a morning devotion. Your book that's available right now, Notes from the Upper Room, Lessons in Loving Like Jesus. I tell you, who wouldn't want to get some lessons in loving from Jesus? And you delve into John 13 through 17 in this book, right?
Yeah, I do. Again, you know, this is such, for me at least, and I think for most of us, we want to know what it looks like to love like Jesus. And I think in those five chapters, he really gives us a good look at what it means to love. You know, it's kind of his final instruction before he goes to the cross. And so we're kind of walking through this. Today we're in John 13:22, and it says, the disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. So Jesus had just told the 12 that one of them would betray him. And there's no indication from the text that any of them suspected Judas. You know, they're 12 friends. They'd lived life together for a few years. They really had no reason to be suspicious. But when Jesus announced the betrayal, you know, they felt incredulous. They were confused and anxious and probably angry. You know, they looked around at one another. I wonder if they were hoping to see the answer in the eyes of their friends. Like the disciples, I think we have a hard time imagining our friends betraying us. We always want to assume the best of our friends, which I think is a good thing. Yet in reality, sometimes those who are closest to us, those we might believe are the godliest, engage in unimaginable sins. You know, a beloved pastor is accused of sexual misconduct, and we think, that could never be true. I know him. Or a child is accused of bullying a smaller child, and we say, my child would never do that. He's a good kid. Or a woman you know to be honest and good is arrested for embezzlement, and we tell ourselves the police must have received false information. She's the most honest person I know. But in reality, every one of us is capable of shocking sin and betrayal. Wise people trust, but not uncritically. We need to be shrewd to the remaining vestiges of sin, even in those whom we hold in highest esteem.
Hmm. You know, one of my thoughts on Jesus, thank you for that. It seems one of my thoughts on Judas, actually, and it's been developed recently, hearing and discussing this stuff, is the idea that I think he was highly thought of. I mean, we kind of look at him like Judas and Benedict Arnold, and they're in this one category. But it's just like he was trusted with the money. I mean, who do you trust with the money? Who's the treasurer? It's somebody who counts the money at church. It's somebody you really trust. So.
Yep.
What if we ought to have a different view that Judas was, and maybe they weren't suspecting him because he was so trusted?
Right, exactly. And I think that, and again, so often, I know for me, there's a tendency to distance myself from people like Judas, you know, and to think, well, I wouldn't be capable of that. And yet the reality is, while we live in this world, we are still capable, I think, of doing some dark things. And I think that's where community is so important. You know, they had a close community. But I think the deepest things of Judas's soul were not being touched. I would wonder, how is it that we can set up communities where it's safe to share those hard things, those things where it's going on, or the hard things that are going on?
And I think even when it comes to pastors, right? I mean, spiritual leaders, sometimes it's not a new thought to say that, you know, in terms of the pastor, it can be tough, you know, getting those really close relationships around him or her of trust and accountability, that they can be as transparent as possible, right?
Right, absolutely. You know, and I think it, especially for leaders, I think that's a hard thing to be able to find a place where one can be open, vulnerable, and honest. because, again, there's often so many mixed messages that they receive.
Yeah. Well, we need community for sure. All right, close me out.
Absolutely.
I know you have a prayer with each of these devotions with the Notes from the Upper Room. Give me that one today.
Yeah, so Jesus, you are my trust and hope. We humans are fallible, broken, and sinful. Help me never to minimize my sin nor believe that I am somehow incapable of treason against you.
Mm-hmm.
Help me to see others honestly, yet grant me supernatural grace in the midst of trials, just as you have done with me so many times. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it. JasonCans.com. Notes from the Upper Room, the name of the book, Lessons in Loving Like Jesus. Eau Claire's own Jason Cans.
Well, we talk about privacy a lot, or privacy if you live across the pond, but how much is it actually worth to you, according to a new study? Not much. Because Facebook, of course, a lot of times is under fire for how much of your private information, contact information, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, does get shared out there. Well, this study says that German Facebook users would want the social media site to pay them about $8 per month for sharing their contact information. In the U.S., I guess we sell ourselves much more cheaply when it comes to private information. Just $3.50 a month is all we'd
Seriously?
Want, according to the survey.
Wow.
Wow.
The study assessed how much privacy is worth in six countries by looking at habits of people in the U.S., Germany, Mexico, Brazil, Colombia, and Argentina.
Okay.
It seems like there was quite the movement towards people getting off Facebook because of concerns of how much. And then all of a sudden, it seems like at least the talk of that has diminished lately, don't you think?
Well, that's because we need it as an arguing tool.
Yeah, true.
Where else would you vent your political opinions?
Right, exactly.
Facebook, on average, across all people the study assessed, would have to pay consumers, again, saying, what is it worth to you? $8.44 to share their bank balance information.
Really?
This one is more scary to me. People only would want $7.56 on average to share their fingerprint information.
Wow.
Oh.
And just over $6 to read your texts.
Why would anyone want to pay $6 to read my texts? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. The brilliant insights contained therein?
Oh, yeah. There's brilliance in my texts. Not at all.
By contrast, people want to be paid only $1.82 per month to have their location data shared. So
see, I don't want
Big Brother knows where
data.
You're at every mm-hmm. moment of the day.
It just, it's a little creepy. I would need more than $3.
We were just talking yesterday because my daughter had, we couldn't find her phone as we were getting ready to leave Wauwatosa over the weekend. And mm-hmm. we didn't. And then eventually they found it. It kind of blended in with the carpet. But she had shut the ringer off, which happens from time to time. But there's an app for that because now, yesterday, she's downloading the app so that now if you did shut the ringer off, if you trigger it, it'll override that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. And
oh.
then so she's saying the whole family needs that and then we can find our phones together.
There you go.
It's
agree.
The bonding activity of families.
Can
today.
I just override the ringer on my daughter's phone when she's not getting out of bed in the morning and remotely hear from work? I can just make her phone start ringing and driving her crazy?
But you can check into it. I'm sure you can. Everything's possible.
A lot of uses for this app. I'm just saying. May recognize this little tune playing in the background. This is how I believe every CVA Sing concert comes to an end. Is that correct, Gary?
That's right. We always end with Where the Clearwater Flows. It's about Eau Claire and our community coming together and friends enjoying each other's company. And it's just a great way to close and connect to the people of Eau Claire.
It is. Now, this is Gary Rambo. He is the director of the choral group CVA Sing. And he's joining us in studio to tell us a little bit more about this event and what it's supporting and why we're doing this. And I say we because I'm part of this choir.
You sure are. And the concert this year has such a variety of music. And one of the pieces, of course, the theme is Come Together. Mm-hmm. And so all of our music kind of ties in with that and in many different ways. And of course, Hillary's doing this wonderful piece of that is part of the show, which is Be Our Guest. We, in the second half, we lighten things up a little bit with some even given a show tune, and of course we end with that clear water, and we've got a piece in the early part that's a little African rhythm, and it's just really going with some Swahili words and conga drums, and so it makes it a lot of fun, and big works with brass choir and timpani accompanying, and so it's fun for the choir and should be really an enjoyable concert.
I think it'll be a great time. And, you know, Gary, I know you work really, really hard on all of the song selection that goes into this. And that's one of the things that is really striking. We have these gorgeous choral pieces that are just flowing and lovely, but we also have these powerful, What a Joy in the Morning is one of those powerful pieces that we do as a choir. But then we have that African piece and these other fun you know, show tunes and everything in between. So you just do a fantastic job of such an eclectic blend, but bringing it together and making it flow.
Well, that's part of the fun. I spend a lot of time preparing and looking for music that really is relevant, relevant to our community and to the choir, that things that we can do that's challenging, but a lot of fun, too. So,
So we want people to come for the music, but really we want people to come because this supports an absolutely fantastic cause in our area.
Absolutely. That all of our musicians are all volunteers, and so everything that we raise goes to Feed My People, and they are so enthused about it and excited about performing for this cause. It's not just about enjoying the process of preparing music in a large choir, but preparing and doing it for Feed My People. It's just been a wonderful cause for us.
Yes, and tickets are $10 a piece, available at the door, or if you call the station, I may have some connections to get you some tickets for that price point of $10. All of that money goes back to Feed My People. Tell us location and time, please.
We are at performing at Trinity Lutheran Church on Sunday, and the times for the two concerts are 2 o'clock in the afternoon and 7 o'clock in the evening. And typically the 2 o'clock is very full, so I advise coming early. And 7 o'clock, typically there's a little more room. But with great weather promised for this weekend, hopefully we will have a full house.
Excellent. And we have Suzanne from Feed My People in with us as well. Suzanne, we're going to be talking with you in just a moment because in addition to this CVA Sing event coming up, Feed My People has some other great things on the books as well, right?
You bet. I mean, what an exciting week we have coming up. My goodness.
It's going to be a great time. So we'll be back with Suzanne in just a moment.
Back here on the WIB Wake Up Show again, CVA Sing in concert at Trinity Lutheran Church, 2 o'clock and 7 o'clock this Saturday. All proceeds benefiting Feed My People Sunday afternoon and evening. So that is coming up to benefit Feed My People, but also Empty Bowls. And we have Suzanne with Feed My People with us March the 5th, Empty Bowls. And this is, I do believe, your biggest fundraiser of the year, and so many things going on with that. You had great attendance last year and hoping, again, I would assume, to even surpass it and exceed the amount raised. So tell us a little bit more about Empty Bowls 2020.
Yeah, this is our biggest fundraiser. And I just have to say that Gary and I were talking out in the lobby before we started about the idea that we all bring different gifts to the table, that we all have a little something different to give. And nothing is more apparent to me than this week that is so true. You know, the wonderful gift of music that you bring, you know, and all the people that come together to make both CVA Sing and Empty Bowls happen. What a blessing for our community. And yes, it's a week from tomorrow at Florian Gardens, and we have wonderful soup, bread, desserts. We have some fantastic silent auction and raffle items this year. We have a kayak we're all buying over. We have expanded our delivery and our takeout this year, and we have a fleet of people who will bring you soup. I know some of our school systems are, some of our teachers are going to come together and get it delivered to their school. So if that works for you, just let us know. We are trying to just involve as many people as we can, and we're excited.
And again, Empty Bowls is Thursday, March 5th at the Florian Gardens, and $20 for a bowl and soup meal, $8 for a soup meal only, and tickets, you can get the tickets at Feed My People's website, fmpfoodbank.org. They're available at the door as well, too. But again, we want to give a shout-out to some of the wonderful restaurants that donate the soup and a lot of people making these bowls as well, handcrafted or hand-painted bowls. And so there's a lot that comes together to make this happen and make it a wonderful, wonderful fun. Fundraiser for you.
Yeah, we again have some wonderful soup donors that have done it year after year. Hooligans and the Country Club, the Chipwell Tuna and Randy Family Restaurants, Forage is doing a soup for us, the Wild Ridge Golf Course. Wonderful bowls. And Gary just mentioned he just joined the Woodturners.
Oh.
Talk about talents, huh?
There you go.
We have over 300 of the beautiful wooden bowls. Mm. And then many of our high schools in our area have done bowls. The university has done bowls. We have
4-H groups.
4-H groups, mm-hmm. Some professional potters. We're just amazed by the bowls we have. And so come get the good soup, talk to folks, have a good time, bring home a bowl. And it's all 100% of the proceeds. Everything is donated. 100% of the proceeds go towards our programming.
Sounds like a wonderful time. So many great opportunities to give back to the community this coming week. So make sure you take advantage of those. Find more information at the Feed My People website.
You bet. Or give us a call. Or come to the we have tickets at the door also. So you can just come.
Sounds good. Empty Bowls and CVA Sing both coming up within the next week.
So there are so many diets. There's like new ones every day. Mm-hmm. I know, Hillary, you've had a lot of success. You've been talking about on the air with the apple chirothin, and that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And we're excited for you. But, you know, how would this be for a fun diet called the Disneyland diet? Yeah, that's what this couple, Mark and his now wife, Vanessa. See, Mark was weighing in at about 400 pounds.
Can I guess what it is? Do you just like ride around and around and around on the teacup ride until you hurl everything that you eat?
Wow, that's... This is much more tasteful than that, thank you. Hopefully everybody's breakfast is done. At 400 pounds, Mark had slipped into diabetic shock, and his kidneys were shutting down after years of failing health. So his then-girlfriend, now-wife, Vanessa, she had this novel idea. I know. Let's go to Disneyland. Make it fun. Her simple plan, help Mark lose weight by walking around the happiest place on Earth. Guess what? Huh. He lost 150 pounds on the Disneyland diet.
Wow.
Now, here's what it included. Okay. Walking several miles a day. Okay, exercise. Keep going. That's part of this. While eating, this is sort of a question, whatever he wanted at the theme park. Now, from turkey legs to corn dogs to nachos. It wasn't just corn dogs.
Okay.
The key to his food intake, portion control.
Well, that is key.
Yeah.
Huh.
He now works at Disneyland after falling in love with the park.
Are there, like, season passes available for people that they can just go and do this stuff?
That's a good question.
Like,
yeah, imagine. Yeah.
That'd be really expensive.
Hey, he's down 150 pounds.
Well,
good for him. Yeah.
Whatever works.
Speaking
whatever
of
works.
Food.
Yes.
Michelle Jenevs, you've probably never heard of her, but her family made their fortune creating a very famous microwave snack, the Hot Pocket.
Hmm. Oh, icy cold in one portion.
Well, why should you know the name Michelle? Well, she's kind of involved with this whole Aunt Becky thing. She was sentenced Tuesday to 5 months in prison for agreeing to pay bribes totaling $300,000. There is a lot of money in frozen food, friends.
Wow.
To get her two daughters into prestigious universities.
Oh, my.
Mrs. Jenevs admitted to paying $100,000 to have someone cheat on the daughters' ACT exams and also paid $200 to have the younger daughter falsely tagged as a beach volleyball recruit to get her admitted into the University of Southern California.
You know what would be cheaper? Taking a class to learn how to study for the ACT or SAT. Mm. Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Speaking of Hot Pockets, Jim Gaffigan weighs in on them.
I've never eaten a Hot Pocket and then afterwards been, I'm glad I ate that. I'm always like, I'm going to die. I paid for that. Never really see that on a menu when you go out to dinner. You know, let's see, I'll have the Caesar salad and the Hot Pocket. tonight's specials, we have a sea bass, which is broiled, and we have a Hot Pocket. Is your Hot Pocket cold in the middle? It's frozen.
So true.
It can be served boiling lava hot. Will it burn my mouth? It'll destroy your mouth.
Oh, it's so true.
And now the Hot Pocket's heiress is going to prison.
Mm-hmm. Sad for her. I wonder if they have hot pockets in jail. Probably not, huh?
She'll eat healthier there.
Well, it's the end of January, and I don't know.
End
about
of February. It's okay.
Are you writing 2019 on your check still?
Still, yes.
Less than 10 months till Christmas.
Well, here's the thing. I think it's not uncommon that people, this is just kind of that bleh.
I think you got the winter blues maybe by now. Although, yes. it's been a pretty mild winter.
It has not been bad, yes.
Right.
But I think this is a common time of year for people to just be feeling it.
Sure. And you get a little jealous of your friends, like my buddy... A friend of mine who's been on this radio station before, who's like in a very warm climate these days, and you start seeing those pictures, and you're like, you're not the one.
I go there. Yeah. So, no, I
sure.
hear you.
You might get in a bit of a rut.
Yes.
Indeed.
Ruts are common this time of year.
Yeah. So how do you get out?
How do you get out? Well, we have some great ideas for you to get out of that rut. So here's a new one. Take a new route to work or school, perhaps even a new new mode of transportation, like the bus or carpool. Bike? We're huge fans of biking. Mm-hmm. Walk? Yeah, give it a try.
Oh, yeah.
Ways to get out of a rut. Eat new foods. Try a different food each day. Maybe ethnic dishes, a fruit you've never tasted. Just go to the produce section. Very healthy. Try a new beverage as well.
Now, before I give a third tip, Hillary, you talked about biking. Your husband bikes even in the winter.
Oh, yes.
So does that keep him from going into a rut then?
You know what? Ironically, since we bought a second vehicle, he's not biking as much in the winter. And
gotcha.
I do kind of feel the slide. For him.
Okay.
I've been about, like, as soon as it's nice enough for the kids to be walking to school every day, I'm going to be like, ride your bike.
Hey, here's another thought. How about every day make an effort to talk to a stranger, even if only to say hello?
I totally do that.
Yeah. For sure.
I do.
Love
I like
that.
To.
Wear different kinds of clothes. Try a color you never wear. Buy a hat, some fun sunglasses, colorful socks, impractical shoes. I can't vouch for the impractical shoes, but I can say, having lost all this weight and replacing my wardrobe, it's been so fun. Consignment stores are my new best friend. Just saying.
Ways to get out of a rut. I hesitate to mention this one, but rearrange the furniture.
Yes.
Because here's the thing. I must be in ruts all the time because I like the furniture to be where it was when I left the house. And then sometimes I come back and it's like, no. Well, like, are we like feng shuiing the thing? I don't know, but
piano.
Sometimes it just changes.
I moved the piano all by myself, not that
my
much.
But I'm not the keeper of the home. So.
My worst story real quick about rearranging the furniture was working on the air here. Back in those days, doing early morning radio, 90s, okay? Early to mid-90s. And they had done some wallpapering, rearranged the furniture. It was dark. I was living with a family at the time. Tripped over the couch. Boom. Gashed my chin right here.
Oh, no.
Had it bleeding. Came to the station. Started Compassion Radio. Then went and got stitches.
Nice.
Thank you. That's how it all started.
That's
back
amazing.
In the day when you needed to manually start the show. All right.
Yes.
Also... Yeah, tell people you rearranged. And they did. I mean, I was just, boy, that's embarrassing. Take a class in something that you know nothing about.
Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, try a new hairstyle. That's emotions to me. Try a new hairstyle, curl or straighten, change your part. Do something different. Change it up, guys.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Ways to get out of a rut. Here's a good one. Don't watch TV for 2 days or stay off of social media for 2 days.
Huh.
Just, love that.
I mean, some people might give those things up for Lent, and they're just saying, hey, get out of a rut by doing it for 2 days. Just try it.
All right. Way to get out of a rut. If you drink coffee every morning, a lot of you Java drinkers out there, maybe try tea or hot cocoa. Mm-hmm. Or how about hot cocoa with the coffee? I recommend it, the morning mocha. Juice or hot water, something like that.
Love it. Try shopping at a different grocery store. I don't know. That can be completely and totally
I don't know where everything is.
Yeah, but it's fun. It's a fun adventure.
What am I supposed to do with my quarter?
Yeah.
And finally, if you always shower, take a bath. If you always bathe in a bathtub, take a shower.
How fun.
Just little things. Change it up.
I want to do all of those things. It'll be so fun.
In one day.
I'm going to feel like a whole new woman. I'll be lost, wandering around, wearing different clothes at a strange store. Weird hair. It's going to be amazing.
Wow, that's
and telling strangers
that's
how you took a bath instead of a shower this morning.
Wow. Oversharing with people. It's going to be great. People can't wait.
How many of these can you do at once? Tell us. 396-1670.
Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.